Continue back at it now at 34 minutes past the hour. We're brought to you by Geno's Kitchen and Appliance Center, specializing in those GE appliances. Specializing in those quality GE appliances. I'll get it down. It's not like the first time. Good morning. I'm Scott Michaels. Coming up, time permitting, some local headlines for you. We'll have Mike Botka's sports and, of course, Anthony's forecast. All on the way, but we do want to welcome into the KPOY Morning News on this Thursday, Assemblyman James Gallagher. James, good morning.
Hey, good to be with you, Scott.
Well, thanks again. I know short notice. We had reached out yesterday, and thanks to Curtis to get you set up here and join us here. Want to talk a little bit about, because this kind of hit close to home for yours truly, we know that the settlement through the trust fund, the PG&E trust fund for Camp Fire and other fire survivors, with the new, person overlooking the trust fund. But the question is, James, it came up. I was on the road. I got home, and my niece had said that she had received a payout from a settlement through her mom's estate. But some state taxes, income tax, have been taken out of that. And I'm just going, whoa, wait a second. Okay, I know people. I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So I went right to the top. I guess you're working a bill right now that addresses this through the assembly?
Yeah, we've been working on this bill actually since last year to provide a exemption from state tax for any wildfire settlement payment from these recent fires. So that's been a big... Yeah, I mean, we're trying to get it through. I'm very optimistic that we'll actually get it through this month. And it does have an urgency clause, which means it would go into effect immediately upon being signed by the governor. That looks like it's coming. I'm very optimistic we'll get it passed. But I realize in the meantime, some people have gotten payments that have, had the state tax taken out. I would say talk to a tax, accountant, because I think, if this legislation passes, I believe it may be able to do like an amended return or claim it on the next return so that they can get
a little bit of refund
tax
back.
Exemption
yeah.
as well.
There we go. Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, that was my next question, James, about retroactive, because there's so many, there are people that are getting those right now, and there's a little bit of, there's sticker shock and a different kind of sticker shock. And they're saying, wait a minute, this just doesn't seem right. And I guess the federal government has already passed that legislation. And so so federal monies aren't being taken out. It's only just state right now.
I believe the federal is also being worked on, too. I don't know if that's been finalized, but I know that Congressman LaMalfa and other, Congress members have also been trying to do the same thing at the federal level.
What are you getting pushback? Are you getting any kind of what are people saying about this when this was brought up, James? Was there some kind of delay or just pushback from some people, some legislators about this?
No, there's been several layers here, right? The other issue out there is that most people are only getting 40%. Of their total settlement. And that's in part because the settlement with PG&E that went into the trust, half of it was cash and half of it was stock.
Right.
The PG&E stock at the time of the settlement was $15 a share. Now it's somewhere around 11. So if you sold those shares right now today, it wouldn't be enough to meet what, the promised settlement amount. So in the meantime, the trust has been paying out as much as they can using the cash, and that's about 40%. The other issue is, before you can get your payment, they got to perfect their claim, what they call it. And there has been some issues there. I know, some people are not represented by attorneys. Some people are. I have been working through the trust. There's been a lot of frustration that I've heard from folks. But I think, there's a new trustee. I think that's been really helpful. It sounds like the transparency has really improved there. Worked a lot with the mayor of Paradise, Steve Crowder, who, I think did great work on that. I think we're getting better progress with the trust, but I know there's been a lot of frustration there. The payments have not come, very timely. And then, of course, the full settlement has been delayed by this issue with the stock. And then, so, you know, then you add to this, I'm like, well, at the very least, let's make sure that people's tax settlement, you know, or that their settlement is tax-free. I wouldn't say there's been any pushback. It's just it takes, you know, the legislative process is not a short one, as you know. And, you know, I've gotten bipartisan support in both houses to make it an urgency measure, to make it, you know, go in effect immediately. It takes 2/3 vote. And so far I've gotten that. So I do anticipate getting that accomplished this month, and that should, you know, provide that solution that we've been looking for to make it tax exempt.
Yeah, we know too that the hits on those payments also, if they did go through an attorney, the attorneys are taking their cut as well. Now, is there look at your crystal ball? Is the governor, you think, in support of this?
Yeah, I gotta believe he will be. I mean, I can't imagine why he would not support this. You know, this is, like I said, this is a bipartisan measure. I think everybody sees that, you know, look, there's no way we should be taxing these victims who've lost everything. They've lost family members. They've lost their homes. So I anticipate that this will go through. It's just been this, you know, this legislative process trying to push. I've tried to push it through as fast as possible, you know, pushing in every committee to get it moved forward in an expedited manner. So we're right there. And I do anticipate we'll get it done and provide that much-needed relief for everyone.
All right. That's good news. And then, like you said at the start, you said that when this passes, I'm going to be optimistic, half full here, cup's half full, when it does pass and get signed by the governor, then to reach out to a tax expert to be able to, if they can, address that on their upcoming tax form. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, that would be my recommendation, right, for those that, you know, maybe have already had the payments come through and had tax taken out, is to consult, you know, their, you know, tax expert about how they could take advantage of that exemption.
Perfect. Let's talk a little bit, James. I want to switch a little bit since we have you. You're a farmer, rancher, and what's going on with the water issue these days? What's happening with water? We know the drought. New study out says that we're not doing as good a job as we can be with conserving water. How's it impacting your ranch and others that you talk to?
Well, on my own ranch, I mean, we left out about, you know, 30% of our rice crop because we just didn't have the water to grow it. And that's, you know, over on the west side, there's people who have left out 100%, you know, because there's no water to sustain growing that crop this year. It's really, you know, it's frustrating. It's devastating because I think the number one issue here is poor management of our water system. Right? We've been doing far too many releases when we could have been holding water, you know, under the auspices of helping fish, but that hasn't, you know, really actually helped the fish population. And the bottom line is we need better management of our water resource, you know, statewide. To ensure that there's abundant water for everyone. And we need new investments in infrastructure like Sites Reservoir. You know, adding a new reservoir that could provide up to 1.5 million acre feet of water would be a good investment. And, you know, for the past 50 years, that project's been, you know, studied and studied. We passed a water bond, you know, in 2012. All the money's ready to go. It's really on the governor's office and his agencies to just approve the permit so we can move that project forward. So we need new investments like Sites to ensure that, look, we capture water. Yeah, things have changed. We don't have as great a runoff. You know, and here recently we haven't had as great of snowpack. But the thing is, if you can capture that water during the winter season, you know, when we're having lots of rain, when we're having, you know, the runoff that's coming earlier, you could capture that water and better utilize it, you know, for all the needs, for our cities, for our farms, for clean drinking water, all of those things, you know, for our environment. But we need to maximize, you know, the resource.
James, I was just on my way. I was in Southern California last week. I drove down there. And if you drive down I-5, the roadways with the farms down there are, you know, the signage is very colorful, I should say, regarding the governor's management of water. I'm wondering, what you just described, there doesn't seem to be momentum to get these built. Are there pressure points that can be are there areas of pressure? Are there areas of negotiation? Are there things you can say, listen, I know you don't like saying, hey, I'll vote for this if you do this. I mean, is that just completely off the table? Is it something that's so far down the totem pole of priority with Democrats and the governor that it's really tough to get to a place where of fruition?
Well, one, I would say that I think the momentum is there. I mean, since the passage of that water bond, we really advocated the Water Commission, and we're able to successfully get, close to $1 billion allocated towards Seidlitz Reservoir. There's been a big stakeholder group, including the site's authority and many other partners who are saying, let's build this dam. I think that the pressure points are there. I think where we're at now is we're at the executive level. We're at the governor's level and his agencies. They need to release the permits, and there's pressure on them, maybe from the environmental community, from the Sierra Clubs of the world that say, don't build it that big or don't build it at all, right? And I think what we need is the pressure to say, look, this is needed. This is probably the most needed thing in California, and there certainly are a lot of people on that side that are pushing on the governor's office, like, let's get this project done. The ball's on your court, Governor. And look, he could be, in a great place to be someone who provides a solution here. Certainly there's the political pressure, man. He's up for election. And look, if you want to be shown as doing something to address this devastating drought, and to, try and solve this problem for the future, then you should make this project happen.
It really seems
there's definitely a lot of that. There's definitely a lot of that building up.
It really seems like a no-brainer. We're all sitting here. We all need to use water. And it seems like even for two sides that are philosophically coming at a problem from two different areas, it just seems like, okay, we're going to do this. Yeah, I'm going to make some of my constituents and donors unhappy and supporters. But you know what? I'm doing all of these other things for you. I'm going to do this for all of us. It seems like it would be kind of an olive branch, and it just kind of makes sense. That part doesn't make sense to me at all.
I agree. It totally is a no-brainer. And I have those same thoughts where I'm just like, I just don't understand why he hasn't acted more decisively on this. I'm hopeful that is going to happen. Like I said, there's been a lot of people weighing in on it. And it's what needs to be done.
Maybe you shouldn't be so concerned what the governor of Florida has been doing these days or something. I'm just saying.
Yeah, right.
I'm just
focused on California.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Hey, man, he's got grandiose plans, people.
2024. come on, focus here. Come on, Gavin. Hey, James, just circling back around to how we started everything about the trust fund and the payments to people. Just give us the quick, just real quick, the time frame of your bill. How it's going and what do you expect to happen with that? Again, it's all wrapped around not charging state income tax on any payments they get through the trust fund.
AB 1249, it's over in the Senate now, already passed the Assembly. So I'm anticipating passing it off the Assembly floor, this month, and then getting it on to the governor. So, we believe the bill will get passed this month, and hopefully, I would say, by September, by September 30, that bill, hopefully will be signed and in effect.
And again, if folks have already been taxed on any monies they've received, your advice is go talk to a tax person that you might be able to, if it's a thing, to go ahead and try to get some money back through your taxes this year. So,
yes.
All right. James, listen, we always appreciate it when we reach you're able to squeeze us in for a little time. We know how busy it is for you. So, Assemblyman James Gallagher, thank you very much once again.
No problem. Always glad to do it.
Thanks James. Scott.